Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan continuing the Meet the Candidates series with a candidate to be the next commissioner for the newly drawn District 2 for Beltrami County. No stranger here, Don Hanenden. Welcome to Meet the Candidates.
Well, thank you, Larissa. It's always fun to be here.
Yeah, we got some new digs up in the studio here, some nice new carpet on the walls. Can't beat it. So is this your first time running for a county seat?
Yes, this is my first go around at the county.
And your other campaigns have been for city council and stuff, and you've been on the Charter Commission. What drew you to the county race?
Well, you know, I've been looking at, and it's nothing new to me. I mean, I looked at this when I saw that the redistricting was going to change the districts within the county. And I honestly was looking at it going, you know, that might be a good fit. I mean, it's like I think that the county and the city have some very similar issues. And I just thought, well, you know, I'd like to take my background and I want to do something and make this town, this county and the town and the city of Bemidji the best it can be. So I want to put those efforts towards the best way I can. And I think that running for a county office was the next step to take a look logically.
Let's, in case some people don't know you, let's talk a little bit about yourself and your background, like how long you've been in the area.
Well, I'm here almost 40 years. I moved up here to go to school, went to Northwest Technical College, where I graduated with a degree in automotive. Currently, I work for a local fiber optic company as the shop manager and their fleet manager for the last about 2.5 years now. So, I deal with a budget. I have my shop and everything has a budget, so I need to deal with that with our company, within our company, which is a multi-million-dollar company at the current time. After that, I'm a certified ASC certified master automotive technician for nearly 35 years. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I got 5 children. I have 10 grandchildren, all that live within this community, and I just want to make sure that they have the same experiences that I have in this community, because it's been absolutely phenomenal to me.
So you also have lengthy experience in the civic realm. Full disclosure, I am a member of the Bemidji JCs, of which I understand you are an alumni.
Yes, I am. I've been a JC for well over 35 years. Probably been an alumni longer than I was actually an active member in the JCs. But I've also
funny
had,
how that works sometimes.
Yeah, it is. And that taught me a lot. I mean, I got to lead a lot of the community leaders and a lot of the business owners in this community. So, that particular part of my life, I actually really enjoy, because I got to meet a lot of people within the county and the community. And then I got into city government about almost 20 years ago. And like you say, I sit on certainly sit on 3 commissions currently, the Charter, the Joint Planning, and Parks, which all have been great. I got involved with Parks first just because of all the redevelopment of the parks, and I wanted to make sure that we were doing that and being fiscally responsible with the taxpayer money at that time. All of those have taught me. I've all had leadership roles in all of those, and still do today. I mean, in fact, I'm chair of one of those commissions currently. So, those all were great things, and that's what led me into my other campaigns for city council, is because I really wanted to make a better impact on our community, and being that being out there in the community was really nice and been a really challenge for me that I've really enjoyed.
So what are some of the challenges that you see Beltrami County facing in the next 4 years?
Well, first and foremost is public safety. With being the fourth largest geographical county in the state, we have the highest per capita crime rate. And those crimes are ever increasing as we look forward. And I think that we as stewards of government need to make sure that we're doing everything we can do to make sure that all the people in the county feel safe. I know the opioids and some of those have, and mental health has become some of the largest contributing factors to that crime rate, but I think we need to make sure that we're doing all we can. I've also noticed that the county has added law enforcement since 2016, but I don't know that we still have enough. I think there's other avenues that we need to look at to make sure that we are making sure we're trying to curb that activity and within our community as much as we can. I think as we move forward, I think that it's only going to increase. I mean, you look at you can't hardly turn on the TV without seeing something going on in the nation, and I think that we need to make sure that we're doing all we can do within our county so that that doesn't get here.
So the Beltrami County is currently in the midst of a feasibility study for the upcoming potential jail project. What are your hopes for the future of jailing in Beltrami County?
Well, the jail has definitely got some issues. I mean, I've been following some of the issues that's been out there, and I know it's not meeting the DOC requirements. And I think that as we look forward, it'd be interesting to see where this study comes out. I mean, I've seen a lot of studies come forth, and I've you know, seen some of the inside of the jail, and I know that it's a facility that definitely needs some renovations, and we need to make sure that we're bringing that jail up to the standards that it needs to be, so that even when people are incarcerated, that they are still safe. I mean, I think that that's the key here, is we need to make sure that we're treating everybody humanly possibly as we can, because I think that no matter if you have those issues with the law, I mean, you still need to make sure that you're being treated fairly. And I think that that's a big thing, and I think that at some point down the road, we're going to either look at a major remodel or possibly even a new jail. I think in you know, there's some constraints downtown, so I think that you know, maybe there's going to be some issues as far as trying to find enough real estate to make that happen. But I think that it's something that we really got to look at and make sure that we're doing the best we can.
Circling back to your comments about Beltrami County's high crime rate, Beltrami County also has a fairly high poverty rate, and social services within the county is pretty big operation. What are your thoughts about improving the lives of Beltrami County residents so they can avoid, like, the criminal justice and social service realm?
You know, I've looked at the county budget. I've been really doing a deep dive in it. And human services is one of the largest line items in the county budget. And a lot of that's mandated by both state and federal statutes. So, I mean, the county needs to make sure that they're keeping those that status level or that service level up there where it needs to be. And I understand that we're, you know, where our poverty rate's up there. But again, how do you change that? I mean, it's not that there's a lack of jobs out in this community, because you can walk anywhere in town and there's a help wanted sign. And I think that all we can do is make sure that the people have the services available to them so that they can better their lives. I think that that's the key, is you got to get the members in our community to want to better themselves. And sometimes that's hard. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's a hard struggle to get people to want to go out there and do that, because otherwise we shouldn't have the amount of open jobs that we have in this community. And it's a struggle.
I think another key part of that conversation is our lack of child care. I know I had to work from home for 3 months finding a suitable child care that'll work with my crazy schedule. So I know there are some ideas out there to improve the child care situation in our county. I mean, we have a lot of great providers who do a lot of great things, but there's simply not enough of them. I hear we have somewhere close to 1,000 new slots for child care needed. What are your thoughts about, you know, bringing business and community together to address these shortfalls?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a collaboration. I mean, I think that we need to make sure that, one, we're providing that so that we can get those people back into the workforce. And, you know, the pandemic really raised havoc with that. A lot of your local smaller daycares kind of went away because they didn't want to bring that kind of stuff back in. And not that we're completely out of the pandemic here. I mean, that's still going around, and there's other issues, and we're going to still have some more of those problems as we move forward. And I think that we need to make sure that we're doing all we can to make sure that that we have adequate daycare. And maybe some of that is to get some of our larger businesses to maybe do some in-house daycare, you know, like Sanford Health and some of the larger employers in town, to maybe they can help us, or at least get some collaborative efforts so that we can get more child care for people so that they can go to work.
I know it's way out of the realm of Beltrami County government, but some of the standards to do those in-business daycares are pretty, like, a lot of major money is going to need to go into that, too. What are your thoughts about, like, petitioning the state to get some grant dollars or other things to make these sorts of things happen? Like, the sprinkler systems especially. Those can get expensive.
Yeah, I think there's always that possibility that, you know, we need to make sure that we're lobbying for our legislatures to get that local government aid so that we can provide some of those grant applications for those kind of places. I think that's really paramount as we move forward, is making sure that the state, as well as the federal government, there's got to be money out there with CARES and stuff to be able to bring some of these back so that we can get more of those in our community, so that we can get back to the level that we were pre-pandemic. I mean, we were fairly okay. We never have enough daycare. There's never going to be enough of that because once you get enough, you're never going to get too much because it's never affordable. I mean, that's the key, is you got to make sure that it's affordable for everybody to be able to do that. And I think that, we need to make sure that we're lobbying for that as well.
All right. So we covered a lot of ground here, but I know it's a big thing in county and other local governments, roads and bridges. What are your thoughts about how the county addresses its road repairs, and what do you think can be done to improve those?
Well, you know, that was kind of one of my third priorities as far as running for county commissioner was infrastructure. And I know that with the storms and the amount of flooding that we had this spring, that we definitely have some issues within our county. And I know that they have a half-cent sales tax for that, and that, you know, they did put quite a bit of money last year into roads and bridges. But, I mean, I think that we're always going to be in a need. I don't think that any county outstate's actually got enough money, and I don't believe that even the metros have enough. And I think that we need to make sure that we're also talking to the state legislatures to try and get that and make sure that we're getting those grants and getting those matching funds so that we can maximize those dollars the best we can. I think the county currently does quite a bit of that. Seems like when I looked at last year's budget, quite a bit of that already came from, almost half of their road budget came from the state of Minnesota. So, I mean, I think we need to make sure that we're keeping up on that and making sure that we're maximizing those dollars so that we can get those things done. I know that the one out just west of town here, that was some state dollars that got tarred this year, which, you know, the county was non-taxable property for most of it, so they didn't have enough there to do it. So I think as we move forward, I think that we need to make sure that we're still continuing to get those dollars in so that we can take care of our roads and bridges as well as our county parks. I mean, we've got several very nice county parks, and I know that we need to make sure that we're keeping those all up too, so that everybody can recreate and have that downtime, because I think everybody needs that time to get away and actually enjoy life so that they can refresh and be ready to go again.
Right, and Beltrami County does have a number of county parks and also a lot of non-taxable parcels within the county. What is it, like 75% of the land base here in the county that's not taxable? It's public land. So what are your thoughts about managing those resources? Because, you know, parks traditionally don't have direct funding streams that come from, like, timber sales and stuff like that. What are your thoughts about timber harvesting on public lands? Should we do more of it or less of it?
I think, as you know, timber foresting is one of those big industries within our community, and I think that as we look at it, I think we do a fairly good job of managing that. I mean, I'd hate to see us go over management on it or under manage it, because I think that it's important a resource for this community. And I think that as we look forward, I think we need to make sure that we keep that level. I think it's been a pretty good balance as far as I look at it. And as, yeah, with county parks, is definitely got to find some way of getting some money so that we can manage to keep those parks as pristine as we can, so that everybody can use them and enjoy them as much as we possibly can. And I think that there, you know, with any county budget, and, you know, taxes was one of kind of my second kind of thing that I was looking at, and I need to make sure that that our tax rate continues to stay, because it's currently been between 5 and 6 percent annually in the last 4 or 5 years as far as the levy. So I mean, and to be honest, I actually saw that for out of the last 3 years, two of them that were actually balanced budgets, which is kind of one of those things. We need to make sure that, you know, everything is transparent within the county when it comes to those budgets and making sure where those dollars are allocated. And it's a fine line to try and walk that line to say, okay, where do you take a dime from to make something else work? Because, you know, two of the biggest problems with the county budget is human services, and the second one is personnel. And you really can't change either one of those a lot. So you've got to try and take what that other third of the budget and try and move that into everything else that the county does. So it's challenging. And you know, it's one of those things that you really got to make sure that you're providing all those services for everybody and not just part of it. You can't just do half or a third of it. You got to make sure that everybody's getting an equal share of it.
All right. We've covered a lot of ground. You touched on taxes. Do you have any further thoughts about how is public outreach when it comes to communicating these property valuations and tax levy stuff? I know I get a notice in the mail and stuff, but do you think outreach to the community would be better so people have a better, you know, better understanding of how these levies versus the property valuations all work?
You know, and I've been through a lot of taxation hearings, and I tell you, I think they need to simplify the scenario in which they figure out what your home value is worth. And I think that it's very complicated and you've got to have a pretty good in-depth knowledge of how that's done. And I think that's actually mandated by the state of Minnesota. So, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, well, yeah, everybody goes, well, yeah, our levy didn't go up, but the problem is my house valuation went up. And I think that's driven by supply and demand, as we all know. I mean, you look at what the pandemic has done to supplies. And I think that's what it's come down to, is supply and demand. I mean, if there's a big high demand for housing, you're going to have to pay more for that. So, okay, that drives those values up. But you don't see that value come down. And I think that's the key, is we got to make sure that we're not overvaluing that property. I believe state law says that they have to be valued somewhere between 95 and 105% of fair market value. And that's where that evaluation comes in, and that's
right.
Where it's supposed to be. You know, it's a tough line. I mean, and, you know, I don't pretend like I know that scenario and that equation that's going to make that come out. But, yeah, I see it all the time, and it's a tough thing to sell people on. That's, yeah, okay, well, we didn't raise your taxes, but we raised your valuation of your home, so you're going to pay more, you know, and people don't understand that it's driven by a market.
Right. And so if the housing bubble does pop, could we possibly expect to see property valuation? I'm not even asking as an interview. I want to know.
I would like to think that, you know, if we do get a burst in the bubble, that the county assessor looks at that and actually makes a correction in that and move that down. But if you do that, you're going to see a higher levy, because you've
right.
got to still maintain that specific dollar value that the county budget is. And, you know, the problem is, you know, most of that, like I say, is personnel costs, which are already built in. And you know, I believe in 2023, they're going to be renegotiating contracts, union contracts, because they're up this year. So now you got to start looking at, okay, after this last year with inflation being where it's at, what are those unions going to want? And how can you negotiate that down to something that's manageable within the county budget? And I think that those, as we move forward, are going to be some very tough decisions and some really tough negotiations as we move forward.
All right. Well, Don, is there anything else about your campaign or about yourself that you wanted to be sure to get out there before we wrap it up today?
Well, I'd like to thank you, Larissa, and Hubbard Broadcasting for giving me this opportunity to come out here and share my views on why I want to become the county commissioner for District 2. I've been in this community for a long time, and I really would like to serve the county and move forward and see if we can make it as good as it can be for all of us.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Don Hainanit, for Beltrami County District 2.